out again. All these modern things I'm not used to. Right. This chapter has been very difficult. I tried to get away from it and do something else. But the Lord kept on bringing me back and back again and back again. And I just couldn't get away from it. But it opens up something that has been on my mind for a long time. Talking about people in this generation, we see that we have all been through many, many trials and tribulations, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it is broken marriages or whatever it is, you know, we have something to lean back on because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone can repair the brokenness of our bodies, our hearts, everything. And in this vision that Ezekiel got, the dry bones, it takes me back to, if I can find it, Deuteronomy. And I'd done quite a bit of research on this, and it was God's promise to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy. And the key word that stood out to me was if. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the cities, blessed in the countries. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young people, and the livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. Your baskets and your kneading troughs will be blessed. You will be blessed, and you come in when you come in and out. The Lord will grant that the enemies that rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from the other. The Lord has spoken. And we see this being fulfilled in 1948. The country of Israel was formed. And the Lord's blessing was upon that land ever since. If we look back in recent times, in the Six-Day War, they overcame. And I remember reading about the Syrian invasion on the Golan Heights. It was Yom Kippur. And it was a holiday for the Jewish people. And there was only one tank on duty. And a number of Syrian tanks came to it and tried to destroy this one tank. But the Lord had his way. Every one of the Syrian tanks, I can't remember how many, but it was quite a number, were destroyed. So God's promise to Israel that he would uphold them no matter what, because they are still his chosen people, even though the world doesn't think so. And they will indeed be the next land of the Lord when he comes. And when he comes that glorious day, it boggles my mind to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, will come down on this earth in the New Jerusalem. And the gates will never be shut. No more sea, no more anything. But the glory of the Lord will shine everywhere. I just wonder at times how glorious this is going to be. And these bones that were so dry. And I've written down a few things. Number one was the scattered bones, was a scattered Israel, dispersion, and a partial renewal of the Israel was in 1948. The flesh and bones becoming a nation. The skin on the bones, the tribulation. And this is the tribulation of God in Revelations. And we see that in Revelations chapter 7, that the Lord will send out the people of his land, 144,000 souls that have been redeemed by the Lord in Israel, and he will send them out to evangelize the whole world and bring those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then the rebirth of that nation. All this prophecy was given 2,600 years ago, and it's coming to fruition now. The word of the Lord stands forever. It never fails. Always is there. Always. So how can we bring this chapter up to date? We have seen the devastation of Israel in its brokenness. And the brokenness of this world reminds me of that day. The brokenness of Israel when they were dispersed, when they were overtaken by the Syrians and then by the Babylonians and scattered all over. And God's promise, I will gather my people. And this is exactly what he is doing. From every nation under the sun, his people are coming home. Their brokenness will be no more. And it is, when we look at the world today, it is Satan's agenda, put it like this. It's Satan's agenda to stop people coming to Christ. He will do anything. He is even an angel of light. But he is the angel of darkness. But the living breath of God will overcome. And unless the Lord rattles the bones of people all over the world, there will be no life in them. No life whatsoever. Only darkness. But there is good news. Good news indeed, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life for us. He took the punishment that we deserve upon himself. And now we are redeemed. Israel is redeemed. We will be redeemed. We are redeemed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before knowing Christ, we were two people, joined to the world and joined to Satan, as Israel was two nations. Now they are one nation. God's promise to join the sticks together and bring them as one nation under God. When Christ comes into our lives, we are one with him, one God, one people, one heavenly nation, one salvation, one baptism, and one Messiah. Romans 12, if I can find that, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is. To this day, I can still remember when I was baptized. It was a glorious day. And the Lord said to me, as I came out of the water, I want you to go out and preach the gospel. Well, I was only a Christian a few weeks, maybe a month. And I knew I wasn't worthy to go out and do what the Lord had asked me. But it wasn't up to me. The Lord put it on my mind. And to this very day, he has never, never let me down. I was saying to our brother here this morning, I remember when I was working, I was traveling to Watford every day from Great Grandston. And there was a meeting in the chapel at Great Grandston that night, and I was to lead it. And I had absolutely nothing. I got home a half an hour before the meeting, had a rush meal, and I said to my wife, Florrie, who's now with the Lord, she said, go upstairs and pray about it. So I went up. No answer. And I got to the second bottom step. I can still see her to this day. And the voice came to me and said, have I ever let you down? No. Never. He has upheld me through thick and thin. And I can tell you of other instances as well, that the Lord, how he has upheld me. He has upheld the... You look at Israel today. It's the most prosperous country in the world. It has the greatest vineyards, agriculture in all the world. and the Lord is upholding them completely and utterly. His promises never fail. His word will never fail, because it is eternal. And I thank the Lord for what he is doing in this world. We see, and it breaks my heart to see Christians being persecuted. I'm reading in about India. 12 churches were burnt to the ground, and the people were being persecuted because they knew Christ Jesus. And this is happening all over the world. Take up your cross and follow me. He was persecuted for our sins. He was persecuted because they didn't understand. They wanted their own way. And this is the way man is today. I want me, me, me. Nothing for those around us. There are great organizations around, yes, that do great work. I think of one, Medical Frontier. They do wonderful work. And there's so many more. You know, Save the Children. Absolutely wonderful work. But all these organizations started from something. They started with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. All the scientists that created great medicines and electric, and were all Christians, every single one of them. And today, I'm afraid, in universities, they do not preach the gospel. And it is a shame that this doesn't happen, because the world is going one way, and that is down. I read a story about this farmer. He made a promise to God, and he said, if I get the price for the farm I want, then I will study, I will go to college. But when he got the money, he went to America. He didn't do as he was asked. That he didn't fulfill his promise. And the thing is, he got there the first year, his wife died. The second year, his eldest daughter died, leaving him with 5 children. He started a business, it went bankrupt. He moved and opened up another business, which one of his sons pilfered all the money, and he went bankrupt again. Then he went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I have sinned. I have not fulfilled my promise to God. Now I am dying of cancer, but I know I am saved. But what shall I answer when God asks me why? That is a very small word, but a big, big meaning. Why? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And we say this to our children, don't we? Why have you done this? And they get scolded for doing so. And in, I think it's in Ecclesiastes. No, if I can find it. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When you make a vow to the Lord, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools, fulfilling your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. So we must be very, very careful when we make a statement before God, because he will hold us accountable for the wrongs we have done. So we see that in Ezekiel, when God puts his spirit in you, then you have no excuses. Because if you trust him and know he will lead you no matter what, and it is a joy to be able to proclaim the gospel to those who will listen. There is only one in my family who knows the Lord, and this breaks my heart. But unless the Lord moves them, they will not be saved. But there is always time until the last moment. I know of a pastor many years ago who his father would not believe until it was 1 minute before he died. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. What a joy that must have been for that old pastor to know that his father was saved. And it is a wonderful thing to know when someone comes to the Lord and is saved by his grace. You know, we have so many isms going around nowadays. You know, we have the JWs, the Mormons, even the Roman Catholic Church, who proclaim salvation by works. Salvation doesn't come by works. Salvation comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. There is no other way. Even today we see in high places that I was looking online about the Church of England bishops meeting in Rwanda, and their conclusion was they had no faith in the Archbishop of Canterbury. So that says something about the state of the church in this land. The Word of God is very clear on all things, no matter what they are. And we must, as Christians, get back to the full authority of the Scriptures. Because if we don't, how are we supposed to bring souls to Christ Jesus? We must be witnesses to everything that goes on in the church. Because if the church gets a bad name, then it will close. If we don't follow the gospel completely, It's our agenda and to condemn Satan for what he is doing in this world and bring people to Christ and open the way of salvation. If we don't uphold the word of Scripture in its complete authority, then we will be guilty of scorning God, of his majesty and his power in all the world, and his rightful place in all creation. So let us not be dry bones, but come together as a people in Christ, covered with the skin of the gospel, and go out and tell them the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. So let us come together in body, soul, and spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This has been a very difficult passage to put together, but as I said, I tried to get away from it, but I couldn't. I could not. And I am glad for the Lord, the way he led me through this passage and bringing it up to today. I thank him with all my heart. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you through the Holy Spirit that you led us and guided us through all that was said, Lord. Thank you for your ruling and overruling in everything I said, Lord. Let it be for your glory and your glory alone. I tremble before you, Lord, for you are the eternal God. Thank you, Lord, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his all on Calvary. So help us, dear Heavenly Father, to give our all for you. Amen. Want to do the table now?